Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. UT Professor of History Monica Munoz-Martinez was recently recognized with the MacArthur Fellowship for her work documenting state-sanctioned violence against Mexican-American communities in South Texas. She's the author of the book, The Injustice Never Leaves You, Anti-Mexican Violence in Texas, and she is a founding member of the nonprofit Refusing to Forget. And Monica joins us now live to discuss this work. And Monica, it's great to have you on The Source today.
Hi, David. Happy Indigenous Peoples Day.
Yes, same to you. If you want to have a question, you have a question or a comment, best way probably is to text us, 833-877-8255, 833-TPR-TALK. You can send us a tweet at TPRSource, email us at thesource@tpr.org. So Monica Munoz-Martinez, congratulations on the big MacArthur Fellowship, so well-deserved. It was great to hear that you got it. So in your book, The Injustice Never Leaves You, Anti-Mexican Violence in Texas, it's been a while since I read it, but I believe there was a part in there where you write about you were at a Dairy Queen in South Texas, maybe in Raymondville or Falfurrias, and on the wall there are photographs of lynchings of Mexican Americans there. That's in your book, right?
That's right, except that it was actually in a Dairy Queen closer to San Antonio. It was west of San Antonio in Savinal, Texas.
Okay. So that is incredible that you go to a Dairy Queen and they have photographs there of lynchings of Mexican Americans, you know, staring down at people as they have their hunger buster.
That's right. I mean, it was shocking to me. I grew up not far from Savinal in Uvalde, Texas. And, you know, we used to go to that Dairy Queen all the time, but we would use a drive-thru. And this was, you know, to get a drink before heading to San Antonio or on the way home to get an ice cream. So this was a time that I happened to stop in the Dairy Queen. And there was a photographic exhibit, you know, decorating all of the walls. Normally in rural communities, you know, the fast food restaurants have photographs of the local football schedules and the football team and Little League baseball teams that are sponsored by the restaurants. But in this Dairy Queen, it was a photographic exhibit honoring the Texas Rangers and a company that 100 years before had been headquartered there. And it also had photographs of a lynching and without a caption or without historical context, you know, right by the exit, right above a trash can. So people walking out of the restaurant saw it, and it really stopped me in my tracks to see such a casual display. And so I immediately asked questions to some of the people working there, you know, who put this up and what were their responses? And one of the young women working there said, you know, I don't like to take out the trash. I don't like to look at those photographs. So that really sparked me to continue my research, but also to think not just about the history of racist violence in the past, but also its importance for understanding social relations today.
It's also indicative about how that violence, as you write, it never leaves you. It's always there. And people may accuse us of trying to stir things up. We're stirring the pot. Why don't we let things lie? But instead, you know, these are stories that are still continued to be told across kitchen tables, and people know, they know what happened. It's just, it's not taught in our schools. And is it your mission to address that?
Absolutely. Well, part of it is that people often assume that violence is followed by reconciliation and that the mere passage of time can heal wounds. And what I've found in recovering histories of racist violence, but also working with and learning from descendants of racist violence, people whose grandfathers and great-grandfathers and grandmothers were victims of violence, is that those wounds continue to shape their families, but also societies. And so, you know, one thing that people misunderstand about this history is that it was violence that fell along white and brown lines, and that the victims or people that were impacted were only Mexicans. But I found, you know, people like Robert Cale, who was a U.S. soldier, he was in his teens when he was serving in West Texas, and he witnessed the Bloody Massacre. And he was haunted by what he witnessed and spent his life trying to have the truth told And it was his daughter, Linda Davis, that helped to have his memoir published. And so people like Norma Longoria Rodriguez, who's actually from San Antonio and a retired school teacher, she's the one who told, when I asked her, you know, why did you work for years, spend your vacation days, spend weekends traveling to try to learn more about the double murder of your grandfather and great-grandfather, Jesús Bazán and Antonio Longoria, she said, it's an injustice that never leaves you. It's inherited loss. And she explained that she wanted to pass the story on to her children, but she also wanted the public to acknowledge the history. And so that's, you know, coming back to this question about what history reveals is that violence, if not addressed, continues to shape societies and institutions, institutions of policing, but even institutions like voting and policies, and it stays within families for generations.
And it's important to address the fact that this is state-sanctioned violence in many occurrences. That means it was authorized by the state of Texas, or it was done by people who were franchised by Texas through, like, the Texas Rangers.
That's right. I mean, it's one of the reasons why this history has been disavowed or hidden or celebrated. That's because there were Texas governors, Texas representatives, elected officials, but also local community members that called for violent anti-Mexican violent policing practices. There were governors who offered their pardoning power to Texas Rangers if they came under investigation for any of their violent policing practices. And so what that meant was that many of these crimes were, whether they were lynchings or people being killed in police custody or shot on site, those crimes weren't followed by investigations or prosecutions. Instead, many of those agents of violence had long careers in law enforcement, and some of them went on to be celebrated as heroes. And so this is a period where the victims of violence, people who were denied due process, were criminalized after death, and the people who committed these crimes were celebrated. And so that's one of the reasons why it has been covered up is because it's state power that comes under the microscope when we return to these histories.
We're taking a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Monica Munoz Martinez. She is the author of The Injustice Never Leaves You, Anti-Mexican Violence in Texas, and she is also a member of the nonprofit Refusing to Forget. We'll be right back. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. With us live is Monica Munoz Martinez. She is professor of history at UT Austin, author of the book The Injustice Never Leaves You, Anti-Mexican Violence in Texas, a founding member of the nonprofit Refusing to Forget, recently a MacArthur Fellow awardee for her work in recovering untold history of racial violence along the Texas-Mexico border. And so, Monica, when you typically go into communities and you do presentations and you talk to groups, do they come to you and say, this is what happened to my family?
In some cases, yes. People will share their own family histories. In some cases, descendants of events that I've written about introduce themselves. But also people who are descendants of Texas Rangers have written to say, you know, my great-grandfather and my grandfather was a Texas Ranger, and we were always proud of that. You know, do you know about him, and did he do anything that we should know about? And they're all also descendants of Texas Rangers, especially people who were in the company of Company B that participated in the Bloody Massacre, that have done their own research and have tried to set the record straight about that tragedy. And so, you know, people, what I've seen, whether it's working with my colleagues and Refusing to Forget to unveil a historical exhibit at the Bullock Texas State History Museum, or just talks at local public libraries, is that people want to learn the truth. And so for some, they are waiting for the truth to finally be acknowledged by state institutions and to finally be taught in public schools. Others are coming saying, you know, I just have believed in these myths all my life. And I realize now that that's not true, and I feel a responsibility to learn more. And so overwhelmingly, there's been public support for public exhibits, for historical markers, but also, you know, the first question essentially that comes at every public presentation just about is, when is this going to be taught in the Texas public schools? And that is, there's a long way to go for that to happen, but there are a lot of teachers and parents and students who want to learn these histories.
Right now, though, we are experiencing state leaders who are cracking down, but they're banning the teaching of so-called critical race theory. It's not critical race theory, but that's what they call it, which is they don't want to teaching in our public school classrooms history that makes Texas look bad, like the history of oppression against African-Americans and Mexican-Americans.
Well, you know, I think if we're going to have a truthful conversation about Texas history, I think people should know that when we cover up histories of racist violence, we're also covering histories of social justice. And so there's a long history of Texans working actively to try to correct injustices that they saw. So people like Jovita Yedad, who was a journalist from South Texas, she was a teacher and a suffragist. She actively worked, writing letters and publishing articles to try to expose the truth and to call for reforms to end anti-Mexican violence. She's an inspiring person to learn about. People, you know, like Frank Pierce, who was a lawyer from Brownsville, you know, a white Texan who saw injustices and sent telegrams to the State Department in the U.S. and said, innocent people are being murdered here and it's wrong. You know, people have a constitutional right to due process. And 100 years ago, people were saying, this is not democracy. People are being denied their constitutional rights. And so, you know, one of the realities that people will say, you know, you're judging people by our current of the past, by our current moral standards. And by turning to people like Jovita Yedad and Frank Pierce and so many others, we learned that there were people at the time, you know, fighting for justice. And those are really inspiring stories. And so, you know, Texans don't need myths. If they have access to the truth, they, I think, will be newly inspired and proud of the places where they're from. That happened for me when I studied about the school walkouts in Uvalde, Texas in 1970. I learned about Genoveva Morales, who is an important civil rights figure to the Mexican-American Chicano civil rights movement in Texas. But she was somebody who was not celebrated, that the history of the school walkout was not taught in public schools. And so, you know, I think that the debates about truthful tellings of history, you know, history students have a right, the public has a right to history that follows professional standards. And so the American Historical Association, the Organization of American Historians, have come out publicly against legislation in Texas and in other parts of the country that are trying to restrict how students can learn about race and topics like slavery in the United States.
Now, was there an effort to steal people's land? There's a lot of talk about land, that our family had this land and the rangers ran us off.
Absolutely. There's a history of violence being used. I mean, there were a lot of tools to remove Mexican landowning families from their property. I mean, this happened at a much faster rate in California after the United States acquired half of Mexico's territory after the U.S.-Mexico War in 1848. You know, Anglos moved into California at a large pace, at a fast pace, inspired by the gold rush. And so there was a faster turnover of land from Mexican to Anglo hands.
But there was like a citrus rush down in the valley.
Absolutely. So at the turn of the 20th century, in 1904 especially, when the railroad reaches South Texas, you have Anglos moving from other parts of the country and bringing with them their ideas of racial hierarchies. And so they actively work to displace Mexican landowners, but also to disenfranchise Mexicans from voting and segregate communities, to get Mexicans out of schools and into segregated schools. Landowning families were targeted. A common saying at the time was, you don't buy from the husband, you buy from the widow. And so oftentimes when landowning families were targeted with violence and husbands were killed or sons were killed, families fled. And as, you know, historians still have a lot of work to do to try to actually come to a number of the economic impact. But historian David Montejano said, you know, this was one of the largest land transfers in U.S. history. It's just most people have not acknowledged it.
So you are recognized with the MacArthur Fellowship for your work recovering these stories and helping people understand what happened. How does getting that award, that recognition, how is it going to help you in your work?
Well, it feels like a tremendous support, not just for myself, but for other historians who are doing this work, and colleagues in Refusing to Forget, but also descendants and teachers who are waiting for lesson plans and teaching materials to be able to teach parts of this history. And so MacArthur Foundation awarded this grant to me, but also to other historians. And so, you know, I think that it's important to see that they recognize the importance of history, to invest in the writing of history, but also to give public access to the history in the United States, and that the humanities more broadly, you know, in terms of investing dollars and resources in the humanities is important. And so some of the best phone calls over the past few weeks have been not only with my family, but also with descendants like Norma Longoria Rodriguez and to talk about and look forward to continuing our work. And the MacArthur will help us do that.
And what happens for you next? I got about 30 seconds.
I'm going to keep working with research students at the University of Texas at Austin. We have a research team, and so this, in the short term, is going to help us to keep working, as well as my colleagues in Refusing to Forget that are planning ahead.
All right. Monica Munoz-Martinez, a professor of history at the University of Texas at Austin, author of The Injustice Never Leaves You, Anti-Mexican-American Violence in Mexican Violence in Texas. And it was great talking with you again.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by Jackie Velez and Xiaowen Chen. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.